Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's our Green Bay football insider, Ryan Wood. How are you this afternoon, Ryan?
Well, you're making me blush, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Ryan, are you surprised that with Brian Gutekunst saying that they were going to be more aggressive in free agency and acquiring players, that they haven't been involved in what's been a busy offseason, even though the offseason hasn't officially started yet?
No, you know, they've got to clear up some space and some cap room at some point. I am surprised that hasn't happened yet. But it could be a matter of if they don't get to that until they have to get to that. You don't clear up the space until it's necessary. So, you know, I would have expected that to happen already. But ultimately, no. I mean, this 52-hour period between the start of the legal tampering, which was officially 11 o'clock Central Time this morning, and the start of the new league year, which would be 3 p.m. Central Time Wednesday, rumors fly left and right, and it's really hard to keep track of what is rumor, what is leverage kind of created, whether by a player's agent or a team, and what is actual reality. So it's going to be interesting to see how things unfold a little bit.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to cut you some slack because you've never had an opportunity to actually talk about anything in free agency before until this year. But so this is how this goes. So when we get rumors about potential players, we get excited and we go back and forth and all that fun stuff here because you just took cold water and just dumped it all over us. You just absolutely okay, so let me ask you this. Sammy Watkins, Allen Robinson, those are the two names that are out there right now for the Packers, and apparently they're at the front of the list for Sammy Watkins as far as potential teams for him, and they're speculating that they're going to get in on Allen Robinson. Those two guys, are is one or both better than Jordy and Cobb?
Yeah, I think so at this point, sure.
Both are better than Jordy and Cobb?
Yeah, at this point I would say yes.
Okay, Jimmy Graham we know is better than what they have at tight end, so that's not up for debate.
I'll tell you this with Jimmy Graham. Wait a second. I'll tell you this with Jimmy Graham. He's 31, right? So it's going to be interesting for how they evaluate. Is he better than what they have at tight end? Obviously. I mean, that's not even a question.
Right.
But is he worth the hefty price tag that he's going to get on the open market? That is a very good question. At 31, I do think the Packers have got to be very, very leery and careful not to overspend just because he's better than what they have currently. Because, you know, at 31, you don't want to get yourself in a position where you're paying for past production instead of future play.
Have you heard anything about Trumaine Johnson, the cornerback from the Rams?
I have not. I would be stunned if the Packers weren't interested. To me, that's the guy that they need to go out there. And I don't know. And that's where we talked about at the very beginning, clearing up cap space. I mean, this team needs to clear up some cap space to go after Trumaine Johnson. I think that's the guy on the open market, and he's not going to be cheap by any means. But if you look at, and certainly after the Marius Randle trade, Brian Gutekunst forced himself to be aggressive in his approach to rebuilding the cornerback position. They gave away their best cornerback. But in doing so, the Packers' secondary was only so good because Demaryius Randle was the best cornerback last year. Any secondary that he's your best cornerback, it's very limited on the potential that secondary can produce. So they've got to go out there and completely overhaul that position, and it's going to take a lot of aggressiveness to do that. But they forced themselves to do that, and to me, that starts with going out and pursuing Trumaine Johnson. I have not heard that that's happening yet. Obviously, we're only a couple hours into legal tampering, but I certainly think that is the one guy that makes a lot of sense for the Packers.
So they've said all along they were going to be in on a lot of people, so we're hearing their names rumored all over the place. But I would agree with you, Ryan, in that why should I go to Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb or Clay Matthews when I don't have a deal done? Listen, let's just face it. We know the Packers are up against it. They just don't have the money to pay Trumaine Johnson right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They're about 20 and a half, almost $21 million in cap room, and that includes what they have to get done with Aaron Rodgers this offseason. So you're absolutely right. They don't have the money to go out there and approach the top cornerback on the open market in a legitimate way right now. But that can change very quickly because there are areas on this roster where you can't clear up cap space. And
how could you clear up cap space, Ryan? How do you clear up cap space?
It's got to start with demanding pay cuts from either Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson, if not both. And if they're unwilling to go that route, which I would be very surprised if both were unwilling, but if they are, you have to be prepared to release them. And that's where I think you start the reason why you start to hear about their interest in Allen Robinson and Sammy Watkins. Either of those, if they were to sign either Sammy Watkins or Allen Robinson, that would almost have to be attached with a severe, significant, extreme pay cut and or release with Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson.
You know, when we talk about cutting players one way or the other, and we're all focusing on Cobb and Jordy Nelson, and obviously you have to if you're talking about getting other wide receivers, how safe do you think Clay Matthews is?
I think he's got a whole lot more leverage than Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb. I think the person with the least leverage right now is Randall Cobb because he's 27, and theoretically there should be some good football ahead of him. But I think of the three, he's the most easily replaceable because you have Ty Montgomery and really no defined role for Ty Montgomery. And if you remember on the day that they drafted Ty Montgomery, Sam Field, the Packers scout that really kind of unearthed him, he called him a bigger Randall Cobb. Ty Montgomery is a guy that you can fit in the slot and expect that type of production. So you look at who can they replace. I think you start with Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson. They have other receivers on this roster. You go to Clay Matthews, this defense needs all the talent it can get. It really can't afford to get rid of the talent it does have. Now, with that said, is Clay Matthews as an edge rusher, as a sack artist, has he performed to the cap number that he has? No, he has not. But he's still one of their two or three most talented players on defense, and this is a defense that is bad. They cannot lose the talent that it has. So because of that, there's really not the leverage to demand a pay cut from Clay Matthews that they might have on the other side of the ball.
Speaking of a defense that's bad and making financial decisions on that side of the ball, we're sitting here talking about the money not being there, Ryan, but their best safety hits the free agent market, Morgan Burnett. Do you think they even make a run at trying to bring him back, or do you think it's a foregone conclusion that he'll go the way of Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward and other DBs that we've seen leave this franchise?
I would be very surprised if they were to bring back Morgan Burnett. You look at what his open market value is likely to be. You're probably looking at $8 to $9 million annually. And it goes back to what we were just talking about with who can be replaced. They've got a lot of young safeties. I mean, obviously Kentrell Bryce, obviously Josh Jones, but even a Marwin Evans. I mean, they've got a lot of young safeties at that position, a lot of depth that they don't have at most other places on their roster. And because of that, I would be really surprised if the Packers were willing to go with an expensive third contract for Morgan Burnett.
That is our Green Bay football insider, Ryan Wood. Find his work inside the Green Bay Press Gazette. You got one more for him?
Yeah, one last one. Though, as we look at this, we come down to this, isn't it, though, imperative, and I think we're going to get into this at some point today or tomorrow, but isn't it imperative right now they need to sign a cornerback? I mean, the receivers, that's great. But you've got rid of, your best cornerback in Randall. Don't they need a cornerback? They can't go into next year with a rookie at cornerback, can they?
No, they probably need two corners. They probably need to go to the top of the market and get a guy like Tremaine Johnson and then look for a nice value at the middle of the market. I mean, that's probably where they're at. But maybe the best thing with the trade from Demaryius Randall, and I thought getting DeShone Kizer back and actually being serious about creating competition, a backup quarterback, was worthwhile. I thought that it is a nice little perk. It's little, but it's a nice little perk to draft the top of the fourth round to be able to start day three. I mean, those are nice. But probably the best part of that trade was that it forced Brian Gutekunst to be extremely serious and aggressive with rebuilding the cornerback position, because a secondary with Demaryius Randall as your best corner is only going to go so far. They had to rebuild that position regardless if he was on the roster or not. And now that he's not, they have no choice but to go out there in free agency and be extremely aggressive with their approach. So that's what I would expect. And certainly if that's not what happens, then there's going to be a lot of, in hindsight, a lot of second guessing of the trade. But I would expect they'll be very aggressive with that position specifically.
So this news broke at about 4:35 o'clock, I believe, on Friday as we were on our way out of the show. Yes. So your thoughts, is that good deal or bad deal? I mean, or do you have any inside information how that deal all came together? Because after Tyrod Taylor gets picked up, goes to Cleveland, we saw this deal happen.
Well, look. What you need to know about Demarius Randle as a cornerback is what the Cleveland Browns plan to do with him, which is reportedly play him at free safety.
Okay.
So he, you know, I think he was the best corner on their roster. But again, if that's your best corner on the roster, it's not a very good secondary. So they had to do something. As far as whether it's a good trade or not, it all depends on how they go about now addressing the rest of that cornerback position. If they're able to go out there and sign a Tremaine Johnson. And then let's just say, hypothetically, in the best world scenario, somehow they probably got to trade up to get him. But let's say Derwin James is available to play. They draft him at 14 or trade up and get him in the first round and play him at slot. And then your quarterback position, hypothetically, looks like Tremaine Johnson and Kevin King on the outside with Derwin James playing slot and being kind of that joker, that wild card player. That's a good trade at that point. If you're not able to go out and get the players, though, to fill the positions that are now open, it's a bad trade. That trade is all going to depend on what Brian Gutekunst does next. It's a long view, and I'm really curious to see how that unfolds.
Okay, so while you were on the air, I see a tweet here from Mike Garofalo.
That's all right, too, yeah.
Garofalo says, per a friend of Rodgers, that Rodgers and Jimmy Graham have talked in the past about wanting to play together previously. So there's that to kind of throw out there.
They don't have any money for him.
Around Jimmy Graham. God, I gotta start cutting people. That's the first thing. Brian Bulaga, that's another one that we haven't really talked about, but that's another one that could be on the chopping block. So there's that. The other thing that came across while we were talking to you from Tom Pelissero, amongst others, is the Vikings are in talks with their agent for Drew Brees right now about possibly bringing him to Minnesota. Right now, as it sits, without anybody being added, just rosters as they are now, how far behind Minnesota do you think Green Bay is?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think certainly on the defensive side of the ball, you could look at almost every position. Probably where they're closest would be the defensive line. You know, Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels probably are Packers' two best defenders, and I think they are pretty strong at the defensive line. But everywhere, I mean, edge rush, the second level, the cornerback position, a very big edge right now to the Vikings and when it comes to defense. I think the Packers have the significantly better offensive line. They certainly have the best left tackle of either team. And we just can't account for how big of an edge Aaron Rodgers gives. Now, even Drew Brees could do wonders potentially for the Vikings, but even still, Aaron Rodgers still in his prime against a 39-year-old Drew Brees is still going to be a pretty significant edge for the Packers at the most important position. So the Vikings have more edges when you look at position by position, more positions where they have an edge. The Packers obviously have the wild card. They've got a big edge at quarterback. And whether they get Drew Brees or not, the big question is going to be what he has at 39 years old. And Kirk Cousins, you know, that's another option in Minnesota. It's going to be a big question of what they can do in terms of comparable to in his prime Aaron Rodgers. And it's going to be a big edge at the most important position there. So, yeah, I don't think it's all gloom and doom, even though the Vikings have several more positions where they have the edge, because that quarterback position just it compensates for so much.
So from the perspective of linebacker, do you think the Packers will be in on any linebackers in free agency? Like Tamba Ali just got cut by the Chiefs, to name one.
You know, I'll be honest, especially when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, the way I see it, I would be surprised if they weren't interested in anybody. I mean, this is a defense that needs to add talent everywhere. And so certainly inside linebacker or outside linebacker, we talked about stack or the edge. Yeah, either area. Now, Tamba Ali is going to be, 35 next
old.
Year, I think. I mean, that's getting you never want – for any team, you never want to be caught in a position where you're paying for pass production.
Yeah.
I think that certainly a 35-year-old edge rusher, you're flirting with that pretty seriously. So I would be surprised if that was the case. But, yeah, I think you're going to hear a lot of names. You've already heard a lot of names. That's because, one, Brian Gutekunst has said he wants to be involved in the process. But, two, this time of year, every team's interested in just about everyone. The question isn't whether they're interested. The question is, to what extent are they interested? To what extent are they willing to go with their offer on the open market? And that's where you get teams that are either serious or not, and that's going to be what's interesting to watch unfold.
Again, the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com is where you'll find his work, as well as on Twitter at @ByRyanWood, and he is our Green Bay football insider. Ryan, we'll be checking in with you whenever we deem necessary with what we think will be a busy offseason here for the Green Bay Packers starting any time now. We always appreciate the time, though, Ryan. Thanks again.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Wood joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank, committed to providing uniquely tailored common-sense mortgage products since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.